Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Bristol Palin's pregnant.
Yeah.
We talked UH football.
Big time.
Talked,
big time pregnant.
Talked about the Raiders Chiefs as well. And, this is where we'll go through all the games, but first I want to let you know about all the cool stuff we have coming up this weekend. Tonight at 9 is Drink of Ages, for those of you who like drinks. Saturday, Outdoors XL with Aubrey Theodi, your buddy, at 7 a.m. Real Deal with John Clay Wolf at 9 a.m. And A&M South Carolina coverage at 6:30. I'm assuming that's college basketball, not college football, as it says on here.
Yeah, it's college basketball. Sorry.
And then Sunday, our buddies Barry and Liebeschock, Houston Game Day at 9 a.m. We'll have Falcons-Rams coverage at 2:45. Falcons are probably my best play this weekend. And Cowboys-Giants at 7 o'clock. So plenty going on this weekend. All right, let's go through the NFL games. For those of you who are new, we'll take a look at the lines. We'll tell you who we would pick if you're having to do one of these pools. Doesn't mean we're playing them. We'll tell you the ones we're playing. We'll also talk about the games in general, so it's not all just gambling.
Right.
And I can tell a lot of you are new just from the text today. So we'll start with Chargers plus 1.5 at Carolina. I kind of think the Chargers train may have run off the tracks. Unfortunately, so is the Panthers train. I'm going to lean Panthers here simply because it's a noon game and it's West Coast to East Coast. But, boy, I would not bet this with your money.
Yeah, I like Panthers for the same reason, but I'm not crazy about the game.
Your Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts. This is one of those games. It reminds me a lot of last year when we totally wrote the Texans off and then they beat the Bengals and played well because I've totally written the Texans off. Having said that, I have a bad feeling that this one's going to get out of hand. No Jonathan Joseph Sunday. I think the Colts are going to win this and put the Texans out of their misery for the season. I hope I'm wrong.
What's the number?
6.5.
Yeah.
Inside a touchdown, I got to take the Colts.
I'm with you on that.
Cincinnati minus 5.5 at your Cleveland Browns. Bob Griffin III returns at quarterback for the Browns, who are getting 5.5. Do it. Do it.
I can't.
Show some stones.
Can't do it, man.
I know you
can't
want to.
Do it. I want to take the Browns. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, it seems the Bengals aren't good. You know, the Browns, again, I say this all the time, the Browns are the ones that you can't question their effort.
No.
You know, they just suck.
And it's the Bob Griffin experience again.
Yeah. I'd love to take those points, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, if you stuck a gun to my head, I'd take the Bengals too, but I'm not betting it. Pittsburgh minus 3 at the lowly Buffalo Bills. Bills, that was a bad loss for them last week. They had the Raiders where they wanted them and gave up the game. I think they're kind of out of it now. Steelers seem to be getting healthy. Number seems right, but I can't play this one, but I think I'd stick with the Steelers here.
I don't love this game one way or the other. If I had to choose, I'm leaning Steelers too, but I don't feel really good about it at all.
We haven't found a game we like yet, have we?
No. Okay. This NFL card is atrocious.
Yeah, it is bad. All right, let's see if you like this one. Your Arizona Cardinals, one of your favorite teams, 2-point favorites on the road at Miami in a noon game where the Cardinals historically suck.
Yeah, I don't understand and that number is moving towards Arizona. And, you know, I like Arizona, and I've been trying to find reasons to play them, but this number, and I hate Miami.
Yeah.
But this number just seems wrong. I mean, I don't know who's looking forward to giving points with a West Coast team playing a noon game without Tyrann Mathieu. No thanks. I actually like the Dolphins. That's probably the worst one. That's the first one I've actually liked.
I'm with you on that. I'll hold my nose while I do it, but I'm with you on it. Chicago plus 7 at Detroit. I think the Matt Barkley's actually playing pretty well for the Bears, but this Lions team is getting better and better each week. Matt Stafford's playing well. They have a lot to play for. The Bears don't. 7's the perfect number, though. I can't play it. Because I really want to take the Bears to cover. But I feel pretty good about the Lions rolling here. And here is one play that I will do. Over 43.5.
Okay.
Indoors, I'm going to be all over that. But I don't really have a strong opinion on the side. I guess.
I don't either.
Again, if you made me pick for a pool, I'd take the Lions to cover the 7.
I would too. But I wouldn't be happy about
it. No. The Jacksonville Jaguars plus three at home versus Minnesota. This is another one where I wouldn't play it, but boy, Minnesota right now, they just can't score. Well, Blake Bortles would give him 7 points because he's good at that. But I'd take the Jaguars plus 3 at home.
I think I kind of would too. I also tend to like the over in that game a little bit.
39.5 is your number.
It's a small number. I mean, the offenses are terrible.
Well, you think about it. The defenses could get 39.5.
Yep.
The New Orleans Saints, 2.5-point dogs to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is another one where I would probably take whichever team was getting points here. I mean, I think the Saints might cover that. I'm not going to play it, but again, for pool purposes. But I like the over 51. That's another one.
I like Tampa. I don't need to. I feel good about Tampa Bay this week. I think they win handily. I think Tampa Bay is a pretty good team. I think New Orleans is not.
All right. Redskins minus 2.5 at Philadelphia.
Man, I this was the only play I made earlier in the week, and I got it at 1. And so that number's to 2.5. Now, I like the Redskins very much this week. I think that we've sort of seen the wheels come off of the Eagles. We've seen that the early returns on Carson Wentz looked better than what could normally be expected of a rookie QB. I like Washington quite a bit.
Here's one that, boy, I want to play it, but I can't. No team, San Francisco should not be favored over anybody.
I mean, it's crazy.
But here they are, 2.5-point favorites over the Jets, who also should not be favored over anybody.
I mean, how do you draw the Bears and the Jets in back-to-back weeks? I mean, who's making these schedules? But, I don't want anything to do with that game. I don't want to watch it. I don't even want to know the score at the end. I don't care. Gun to my head.
You have to check a box for your pool. What is it?
It's probably the 49ers box.
Okay, I'll probably take the Jets box simply because whichever one of these teams was getting points, same thing. That's what I would
do. It's just horrendous.
Yeah.
Horrendous football.
We go to Lambeau Field where the Packers are 3-point dogs at home to Seattle in what is going to be a snow bowl.
Yeah, I see it at 2.5, and I love it at 2.5. I'd still take it at 3. I like Seattle.
I like Seattle a lot here. I think
Seattle's the best team in the NFC. I think the Packers are just not very good.
I think the Packers, people are a little fooled by that game last week. They didn't play that well against the Texans, and all the stuff. But, the Packers are back. Well, we'll find out Sunday. I think Seattle goes in there and puts it on them. Here is the
Seattle game. Looked pretty good the last time we saw them, too.
Yeah. Here's the game I love. Oh, and the other thing I like about that Seattle game, it's a 3 o'clock game, which always helps. I freaking love the Falcons minus 6.5 at L.A.
I do, too.
This is my favorite play
of the
week.
I like it better at 5.5. I mean, anything under a
touchdown,
though.
Anything under 7, I'm on. If it gets to 7, I might – well, I've already played it, so – but I think the Rams are one of those horrible teams. The Falcons have bounced back very well all year. They need this game. They're going to be motivated. They get some early touchdowns, and the Rams have to try to throw the ball, which is what I think will happen. This game gets way out of hand. I think the Falcons will step on their souls and eat them alive.
I'm right there with you on that one.
All right. So I'm not – you don't think I'm insane on this one, right?
No.
I believe you can move on this game as if it's yet to be played, but I feel really good about that one. It's one of maybe the second best I've felt about an NFL game all year. Cowboys minus 3.5 at the Giants. Boy, that half really tempts me to take the Giants. I think Dallas is a better team, and I'm not really – you're not going to make much money if you keep betting against the Cowboys. But 3.5 at home, one team that's already beaten them, I think this is going to be a very close game. That hook would sell me on the Giants if I had to.
I like the Giants.
If I had to check a box.
Yeah, I like the Giants this week. That number is good for me. The Giants are the one team that have beat them already. I guess maybe my only hesitation would be the Cowboys might want some revenge on it. But
yeah.
I like those points.
Patriots minus 7 against the Ravens on Monday night. I'm going to keep an eye on this line. We got a few days, so I'm not going to worry about it. Kind of hope it gets to 7.5 because the Ravens always play them close. I think Patriots are going to win the game, but I think it's going to be one of those down-to-the-wire type things. And right now it's 7 points. I like the Ravens.
7.5 on my side.
Yeah, at 7.5, I like a lot more. Obviously, that hook means a lot. But.
Yeah, I like the Ravens quite a bit.
All right. There you go.
But I always like the Ravens.
Yeah, you always like the Ravens. But, well, hey, I'm actually agreeing with you on the Ravens. Which ought to tell you something. No, I like the way the Ravens historically play the Patriots. I think Harbaugh usually has a really good game plan for them, and they tend to frustrate Brady a little. I don't think it's going to matter. I still think Patriots win the game, but I think it's going to be a 23-20. We're actually going to have a good Monday night game. See, something to be excited about. And, I'm taking Army plus 6.5 against Navy tomorrow. So there's your place. That's it.
I want to take that Army game too, but I don't know. It's hard to feel good about them.
Jay,
15 years, it'll wear you down on that. 15 years of hope.
I'm not saying you're going to win. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying you're going to cover 6.5. Yeah. There's a big difference. You could lose 23-20. I win. I'm happy. Yeah. You're miserable.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game. JF288 says, quoted you as saying, Seahawks are the best team in the NFC. Cue the stupid cowgirl text in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I already get it. That's all right.
I
had a listener trying to bet me $100 last night if they play in the NFC Championship game,
I never participate in the betting with listeners thing.
I don't either.
Because I have a MyBookie account.
Right.
So
it's a bad.
That's who I bet with. And
especially people like, we've never met. Sure, I'll bet money with you.
Yeah.
How often do you think that works out for me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love taking unders in these bad weather games. Does Vegas account for future weather conditions? I feel like they don't because I always seem to hit it big. I think to an extent, they take that into account. But you never know how bad it's going to be sometimes. I mean, you can't really affect the number too much thinking, oh, we're going to have this incredible blizzard. Because if you don't, you know, I do think they definitely take it into account. But it also depends on the weather because you can get in those snow games and the receivers can get open and it gets out of hand. I mean, the scoring gets way out of hand. We saw that, was it last year or the year before when it snowed everywhere and then the Vikings were out there running up. Cordero Patterson was going nuts.
Yeah.
But what really gets you is the wind because you can't throw the football. And when that happens, man, that's an unload on the under.
It was a Lions game, man. I remember because Calvin Johnson got tackled and his face mask was just covered in snow.
Yeah. I guess we didn't do Denver, Tennessee because the line was not up on there. Do you have a line on that?
Last I saw was 2.5, which I want to bet Denver, but I'm not going to just because I think Tennessee's hot right now. I off the bye week, I like them, but I just can't bet them to play the Broncos, who I think are a much superior team.
See,
that close.
The Titans, to me, they're very much like the Texans. These teams that are at their level or below, they're going to beat.
Yeah.
The teams that are better than them are going to beat them, and I think I'll take the Broncos there.
All right, guys, Christmas right around the corner this year. Go with a win-win, something that's going to make her feel hot, and it's going to heat up your holiday as well. It's the super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy by Pajamagram, because let's face it, guys, it's hard to get her hot when she's freezing cold. That's where the Hoodie Footy comes in. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. Head-to-toe warmth means she'll be cozy in no time. You can find all the Hoodie Footy styles at Pajamagram.com, including this year's exclusive mink chocolate Hoodie Footy. Every Hoodie Footy has a drawstring hood and a full zip front. And you can also go for the sweet and sexy gift set, which includes a Hoodie Footy and a sexy midnight fantasy. You buy both today at Pajamagram.com and you save $60. $60. You don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, Christmas delivery guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
You're listening to The Blitz.
On ESPN. 97.5.
Guys, if you're driving around this city, well, AJ and I can both tell you, sooner or later you're going to get in an accident. If you're driving down I-10 heading to Beaumont, you're going to get in an accident. And if maybe just in the workplace you're going to have an accident. Car, truck, slip and fall, or you have an overtime claim, better dial Dave. Call Mestemaker and Straub for free legal advice at 713-626-8900. That's 713-626-8900. And they're committed to your success. And if you've been injured, it's tough to focus on your medical treatment. At the same time, you got to deal with all these insurance forms and questions. Let them do the work for you. And by the way, Lawyer Dave, he's a blitzer. So he understands you guys. And they'll take care of all types of accidents. Auto, 18-wheeler, construction, industrial, slip and falls, medical malpractice, chemical exposure. If any of those apply to you, this is your guy. You will have a specialized attorney who will deal with the insurance companies while you can go on recovering. Don't wait. Call Mestemaker and Straub, 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. Tell you what, next accident I am making that phone call, because I'll tell you what, Dave will fight for you. Let them put your mind at rest. Those insurance companies, they have lawyers. You need to get one too. You can go to lawyerdave.com to check them out or give them a call, 713-626-8900. Need help? Better dial Dave.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. We'll have RJ Bell next segment. So do more gambling then. Let's grab a quick phone call. Let's get George on. What's up, George?
Hey, what's up, Ben?
Hey now, sports.
Quick question for you guys.
Okay, quick question for you. What the hell's wrong?
Cowboys.
Dude, oh boy.
Your phone, we can't hear you, man.
Oh boy.
Is there still a tunnel out there? Was he going through a tunnel?
I don't know.
Maybe he's walking around the downtown tunnels and wanted to call. He had some question about the Cowboys. George, text in your question, because we could not hear a word you were saying. And sorry, but for people who are driving around listening to the show, it's not exactly the best thing when they hear Cowboys. Yeah, that's not great. Not great at all.
It happens.
We talked about the Texans a little bit. I honestly think this is their season, and I'm pretty sure they realize that. And yeah, the Colts are capable of choking. There's no question. I could see Andrew Luck having a bad Andrew Luck game, and
agreed.
Texans get a couple of picks, and all of a sudden they're in the game.
Although it seems less likely in that building.
It is less likely, but it happens.
It does.
And I don't think the difference between these teams is all that much. However, I think the Colts are playing much better at this stage, and the Texans are playing worse than they were earlier in the season. And I just don't know where the offense is going to come from with the Texans, and even against that bad Colts defense. I think they'll get 14 points. It's not going to be enough, because I think the Colts are going to be able to score at least 21. And you're going to ask Brock Osweiler to try to have another comeback victory. I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm.
So for me, the key is the Texans. They have to be able to run the ball, which, you know, they're going to try. Whether they can do it or not, they're going to do it. Keep Andrew Luck off the field. They're going to have to win the turnover battle 2 or 3 to nothing, or by 2 or 3 in order to win the game. If they can do that, they have a shot. I just don't feel very confident about that team going
in. Although
the
Raiders won the turnover battle last night.
Yeah, 3-0. And I think that's the third time in history the Chiefs have lost the turnover battle 3-0 and won the game.
It's crazy.
So I'm guessing the same guy. What team should the Cowboys be afraid of in the playoffs? I know it's early, but they're the only team that's clinched. I Seattle. And Cowboys are going to have them at home, which is a big advantage. So I think.
But I still trust I still trust Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson in the playoffs more than I trust Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Okay, so his question was, everybody keeps saying the going back to game one when the Giants beat the Cowboys, but how different of a team are the Cowboys from game one to now? Cowboys are a better team, but I also think that the Giants are better than they were week one. Having said that, I still think the Cowboys win the game.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be close. Cowboys are playing great football, and it's going to take a big effort to beat them, and I'm not sure that – I think there's two teams in the NFC that I think could challenge them in the playoffs, and one of them may not even get in right now. I think the Falcons have enough weapons. They're very similar to the Cowboys in that offensively they can they're not great on defense, but they're good enough. That team would scare me a little bit, and certainly the Seahawks. But other than that, I just don't see any of these other guys beating the Cowboys in the playoffs. Yeah. Unless Elliott gets hurt or there's a major injury, all of which can still happen. Let's try some calls. Don, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Sports.
Sports to you.
I just wanted to say how great I thought the segment was yesterday about the spelling bee. I'm a former teacher. I had a spelling bee champion from my elementary school when I was in the classroom. And then I coordinated a spelling bee at another campus where we had a district winner. And I just wanted to talk just briefly about the student who started to spell and then respell the word. According to the rules, a student can start to respell but has to spell all of the same letters in the same sequence. And if they respell the word in a different order or in a different combination of letters, then they are supposed to be eliminated from the competition.
Doesn't it seem like they should have to reset the word or do something? Let's say, for instance, I'm spelling infinity, and I say I-N-F-I-N-I-T-Y. Shouldn't they have to, at some point, like before they start to respell it, say infinity and then spell the word again?
They're not required to pronounce the word. They can spell initially from the first pronunciation of the word caller.
Shouldn't they do something to break it up where, because otherwise they're just saying a bunch of letters and it rolls into each other. It's out of control.
Makes sense. Yeah. I never had that happen, but in the case where a student starts a word and changes the combination of letters or respells them, in a different fashion, then that student should be excluded.
Well, we can agree that that girl was a cheater, right?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
We can agree that that girl was a cheater, right?
Agreed.
Okay.
Well, agreed. She should have been out.
Okay.
See, from an expert.
There you have it.
She kind of sounds like the Tom Herman of
I feel like I'm an expert now that I have a bronze medal winner for a son, but I don't know.
What does he have to do to get to the National Spelling Bee?
I don't know. He's not doing that. He's white. What's wrong with you, Chong? There are literally kids who have like professional, like spelling tutors, like people.
Yeah.
It's like I pay for a hitting coach. Somebody else pays for a spelling coach. And they were like, he beat some of those kids. Those kids should be ashamed.
Well, back to the drawing board for them. let's get Don on real quick. What's up, Don?
Hey, sports guys. Hey, I was listening to Salisbury at noon today, and he was saying they kept using the term take the training wheels off of Osweiler, and what's wrong with just letting him go and let's just – what do you have to lose? Just let him play and open it up and let's see. What do you think?
Well, I mean, what you have to lose is the division. And I
fundamentally, I kind of agree. I don't know about just absolutely opening it up, but what I would like to see is, man, some play action on first down. Take some shots on first down because you're only running for a yard anyway. So why not take some chances? And I don't know about just going nuts and fully opening up, but give the guy some opportunities to succeed by surprising the defense. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the play calling is handcuffing him. And hey, Sean knows more about quarterback play than anybody in the city. I will go on record as saying that. So I trust his opinions on things. But in that case, I don't know about just letting it fly. I think just give him more opportunities to be successful. And you do that by calling better plays, calling more aggressive plays on first down and maybe second down. And if you do that and get a couple of big plays out of it, maybe he gets some confidence and maybe he gets rolling and you pull off the victory. But You know, I wouldn't just come out and, well, cause they can't go four wide because they've only got three healthy receivers right now, yeah, and just chuck it all over the field, because I don't think you can win that way. I think you can, if you come out, I wouldn't mind being really aggressive early and trying to get a lead and then playing Bill O'Brien 1-2-3 run pass football. Because if you can run the ball effectively against the Colts, and I think you can, and keep Luck off the field, that would be your path to victory. That, and you need to get, defensively, they're going to have to force a couple turnovers and get after Andrew Luck. And Clowney's supposed to play, which should help. But, man, I hope I'm wrong, but I have this feeling of impending doom. This game just feels to me like it's going to be like the Vikings game or the Patriots game, and it's just, they're not going to be in it. I hope I'm wrong. Really hope I'm wrong.
I doubt you are, though.
But I'll tell you one place where I can put my money on it, and that's mybookie.lv. And the best thing about mybookie is if you win, you actually get to collect your cash. You don't have to wait weeks. There was another website I was using, and one time it took me 2 months to get a check from them, and then it took another month to clear because it was a big check. That's why thousands of online players are making the switch to mybookie. It's an industry-leading website. They offer real Vegas odds, incredible player props, live in-game action with odds updated in real time. And they also have a great race book for those of you who, like me, like to play horses in addition to sports. And fast, no-hassle payouts when you win. Right now, if you're not signed up for MyBookie, they're going to match 50% of your initial deposit all the way up to $3,000. So you want to put $3,000 in there, you're going to get a $1,500 bonus. They're going to match 50%. Put $100 in there, you'll get $50. Just use promo code FRED to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS. Open your account and start winning. Expert or rookie, you got to check out MyBookie. That's MyBookie.lv. Sign up today. Monster.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This segment with R.J. Bell is brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com,
a GE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And 5:30 on Friday, one of the greatest rock songs ever, if not the greatest. You know that what that means. It means it's time for R.J. Bell, founder of Pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter, at R.J. in Vegas. Mr. Bell, how the heck are you today, sir?
I think Freebird, maybe number two.
What about Bohemian Rhapsody? That's got to be up there.
It's a little cheesy for me. A little cheesy. I'll tell you something. Too. That song, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so I wasn't necessarily contemporaneous to it. It was a little later, but it really wasn't a well-regarded song. And then at some point, you know, it was a good song, but no one in the 80s was talking about that being one of the great rock songs. And then somewhere...
Wayne's World.
Is that it?
Okay. Yeah, that's when it blew up.
So Wayne's World is a driver is probably not a great thing.
Well, here's the deal. The greatest Queen song, Fat Bottom Girls,
makes the rockin' world.
Oh, it's the best.
Well, let's be honest. Junkyard Dog, Another One Bites the Dust is pretty good.
That's a good. But we also disagree. I mean, on the Zeppelin song, I think that the greatest Zeppelin song is What Is and What Should Never Be, and you disagree.
It just shows you the depth of Zeppelin, though. I mean, there's probably 30 Zeppelin songs you could put, you know, at the top of the list.
Yeah, Cashmere's mine. So, you'll appreciate this, RJ, since you're being from the 80s. I've been listening to the Hair Nation on Sirius a lot lately.
Okay.
And now that I'm older, I see everything completely differently. There's only three topics in any of those songs.
Okay.
There's sex, of course. Okay. There's breakups, and there's suicide. That's
Ooh,
it.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. If you ever watched the show, and I think a lot of people have watched it now, it wasn't very popular initially, Freaks and Geeks. Great show. Have either of you guys watched that?
No.
No.
Oh, excellent show. Excellent show. And it was only one season. But what it represented, I think, very well was if you grew up in the Midwest in the 80s, it wasn't like it was Crew. It wasn't like it was, you know, Def Leppard. We thought those bands, again, who am I to judge, you know, guys that made that much money with music? But as kids, we thought they were like, you know, posers. And it was Zeppelin. It was the Stones. It was Floyd. So we were like 15 years behind, right? So really, the irony is all those bands that are related to the 80s, and then as you get into the, I guess, new wave with like Husker Du or The Cure, which in hindsight are the bands that people really respect from the 80s, we didn't even know those bands existed. It was like from the late 60s. We were watching like Altamont, you know, bootleg tapes of the Stones.
Well, that sounds about right.
It's not, you know, I'm happy. Yeah. I have no lament. I can promise you that.
I'm going to check out that show now. Hey, let's get to a little bit of gambling here. I kind of found it interesting because a lot of times I look at your notes, but most of the time we just get off topic and we never get on them. But I found it interesting that you gave us the worst against the spread records and the best. And pretty much all the teams that are the worst are, with exception of maybe the Cardinals, although they're not very good this year, it's all the bad teams. And all the teams that are good against the spread, for the most part, with the exception of the Saints, are all the good teams.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Good and bad by today's perspective. Meaning, as the season started, we didn't know the Raiders would be this good, right? Even though, you know, they lost yesterday. But
right.
So this is the old thing. Like, you'll hear this sometimes. And anyone that's ever heard this, it's wrong. Very wrong. Is, oh, the spread only matters X percentage of the time, so just pick the winner. Right. I mean, that's how and mathematically it's true, is oftentimes if an underdog covers, they'll win. But it's the difference when they lose the game but cover that, you know, gives you the real value. And so I think it's something where if you said, let's say, OK, the Browns are going to go 0-16. Straight up. Let's say, now, do you want to go back in hindsight and bet them every game against the spread? Let's say you didn't know the result. You might say, well, RJ's taught us that, you know, teams that are unpopular are going to, you know, have extra value on them. So, yeah, let's take that. No, it's teams that are unpopular today sometimes actually win a bunch of games. But if we know that they lose a bunch, or vice versa, if they win a bunch, they're going to do fine against the spread. So I think that is the trick, though, is to remember, what did we look at the win totals of the, you know, what's the best way to assess how good a team was expected to be entering the year? Is the season win total. And if you just say, okay, I'm going to go over, you know, or let's say I'm going to take the five teams with the highest win total and blindly bet them all 16 games, right? And then five teams with the lowest win total starting the season and bet against them, you would do horribly. I would actually flip it. I would want to bet on the perceived worst teams before the season and against the perceived best teams. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. But I can't believe people still think that way, though. That
about the spread, you mean?
Yeah, that you just take the best team. That's
well, listen, there's math guys that spend their lives at it and their PhDs and all that. I'm not in that class. But, you know, you go to college – I got a finance degree. I took, you know, maybe 8 advanced math class, you know, quote unquote advanced, you know, college level. And you start thinking, well, everyone understands standard deviation. No, I mean, the reality is, and this is no indictment of anyone, you know, more than half the country probably doesn't have beyond a basic, you know, understanding of statistics. And so what does that mean? That means that it's very important for the role that I'm in to say, okay, here's some basics. It's not about textbooks, but it's about things like, well, if you flip a coin 5 times and it's 5 straight heads, what's the odds on the 6th flip? Well, it's 50-50, right? There's no correlation. And things like that, I think that you'd be surprised, and maybe not, about how, you know, misguided some people are mathematically and what ends up happening on social media, and certainly not to get into fake news and all that, because, you know, that's a political discussion. And I probably, you know, politically, no one listening probably agrees with me because I'm 50% one way, 50% the other oftentimes. But the idea that on social media, things get a lot of currency, even if they're not proven, I think that's true on both sides of the political spectrum and also when it comes to gambling or anything. So I think what happens is a lot of things get spread around that, quite frankly, isn't backed up by logic or fact.
Yeah, but that's a whole other discussion. See, this is – once football's – people always ask all the time, well, can you have RJ on to talk about this stuff once football's over? We always find gambling stuff anyway, though, all year long.
We should do, you know what we should do, honestly, is pick, like in May or June, we'll take an hour and just do an hour.
That sounds good. That
right?
sounds good.
And then we can podcast it, and then we can just point people to it.
Maybe next time we're in Vegas, and then we can just all do it there together.
Oh, there you go. Right? We have, you know, our show's on ESPN here in Vegas. We can use the studio, the whole thing.
Ah, that's great. There's one game that I absolutely love this weekend, and then the one note I had from you is that the underdog in Atlanta games under Dan Quinn is 21-7 against the spread. I really like the Falcons going to L.A. this week. Tell me why that's a bad idea, because I'm about to – well, I've already unloaded on it, so it's too late, but I like the Falcons a lot this week.
Well, I'm surprised at that pick by you. I would say that the Rams are probably my fourth best pick of the week.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the number's inflated. I feel like that people have seen how bad Goff is, and, man, he's bad. And because of that, it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to bet this team at any price. And it's like, well, you know, I'll take any team if I'm getting enough point. I mean, give me the worst college team against the best NFL team. Give me 130 points, I'm fine with it, just so we have enough players that don't get injured, you know, to finish the game. And I just feel like, I mean, let's think about this a second. The Rams were at New England last week, and they were 13-point underdogs, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Now, home field advantage is worth 3 points, so if you flip home fields, it's 6. So now the Rams are plus 6.5 at home. You flip it, they'd be 12.5, right, if this game were in Atlanta.
Right.
So Atlanta and New England are about the same quality team?
Well, I think New England proved last week that they're better than 13 points.
But by winning by 17? Well, I mean, they obviously mathematically, but
so
I mean,
are the Patriots 5 points better than the Falcons? I think that's what the real question comes to.
Well, no, I mean, because if they're 5 points better than the Falcons, then the Falcons would be like the best. Or I'm sorry, then Rams would be this amazing bet. I'm not saying the Rams are an amazing bet. It just feels. I mean, this game opened, you know, what 3.5? Am I remembering that right?
I think it was 4.5, yeah. But you might be right.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing here is that the first number, and I don't know when you got down, and this is such an, you know, here we go. Here's a great macro point, big picture point. Professional bettors bet numbers. Recreational bettors bet teams. And literally, you know, Steve Fezzik, guy that works with us exclusively, only got to win the Super Contest twice. In the course of a season, he's a master at line moves where he can look at the market on Monday and say, all right, these three games are going to move. And well, he'll also, you know, he's not always right, but over 70% of the time, he'll bet one way and then he'll end up betting the other way because it moves so much, right? And he has both sides of it. So, like, literally, you give me any 3-point favorite and say, okay, we're going to let you have this game at Pick'em. I'm going to play it blind. You don't have to, I'll just tell you guys this. Any week you want, that you want to give me a 3-point favorite pick'em, I'm going to play it blind. And any week you want that you give me a 6 or a 3-point underdog getting 6, so moving a 3 points the other way, I'll play it blind. So to me, once a line is moved, you know, 2.5, 3.5 points, unless that's on information, a change in assumption, meaning a quarterback gets hurt, the weather changes, something changes, then it's like that prior line isn't applicable anymore. But as long as nothing has changed except perception, then to me, how dumb are those odds makers to open the game at 3.5 if somehow 6.5 is a good bet,
yeah,
right?
I got it at 5, and I'll give you my reasoning for it, because basically, this computer program that I use for colleges, I finally got it working for the NFL, and it spits the Rams out as a 9-point favorite. And whenever you get that big of a difference between 9 and 5, it's like 75%. And plus, I also think the Rams have quit. And the other reason, the Falcons, you go back and look at when they've lost, they've bounced back with big efforts. I think they're going to bend them over, to be honest with you.
Now, does your computer pro, and this is interesting for the listeners too, you know, one of the wise guy's favorite metrics is yards per play, and that is how many yards do you give up on defense every time the opponent snaps the ball on offense, how many yards do you gain on offense every time you snap the ball. The net difference is, if you want one single measure of how good a team is, that's it. Now obviously you got to account for injury situations each week, but that's a great baseline for a team. Does your algorithm use a variation of that?
Yes, it's also based on the, you know, Sagarin's doing NFL numbers, which is what I was using for college.
Yes.
So it's a combination of that, and it also scales home field advantages so that it's not a standard three.
And I think that's fair. I think the Rams are probably below three. I agree. Yeah. So, but the point is, Atlanta's yards per play are so shockingly better than you would think. They are, you know, this is last week's numbers that I have recall, is Atlanta was 1.0, one full yard better net, and the next best team was 0.6. So literally the difference between an average team and the second best team in the league was about the same as the second best team in Atlanta. Now, I don't believe Atlanta can be that good. And the things about yards per play, it's a great measure, but it's not perfect. If you trust those yards per play, then you better load up on Atlanta. And I'm not saying you specifically, but anyone that does, if you totally trust that, then Atlanta should be the favorite to win the Super Bowl. And I think very few people would agree with that. So I love those yards per play numbers. I just, you know, take that as a factor with, you know, obviously other factors.
Well, RJ, one more before we let you go. Last week laughed at the fact that the 49ers were road favorites against anyone. And sure enough, they pleasantly came through for me. Then this week, they're favorites again. The Jets are horrible, but I mean, how bad do the Jets have to be underdogs to this team?
This is amazing, because last week with their, what were they, 1-10 last week, right? Is that right? Is San Francisco was the first 1-10 team in NFL history to be favored on the road. This week, they're the first 1-11 team to be favored anywhere since 1993.
It's unbelievable.
So you can't even imagine, you know, two in a row, you know, like there's no math to say, you know, one never happened. The second one hasn't happened for 23 years. So, you know, obviously Chicago with Barkley was a different situation last week, but you guys were right that even with Barkley, Chicago was the side. But I think this week the Jets, one of the things we know the public is biased about, we call it recency bias. What they saw with their eyes, not just read about, not just looked at the box score, but a game they watched in Monday Night Football. You know, most people watch it. And if a team not only loses but looks pathetic, and then it fits into a narrative that, oh, the season's over, oftentimes those are the teams you want to bet on. Because, one, these are all professional football players by definition. And all
Even
of them –
Bryce Petty.
Almost, he's getting paid. Almost all of them were the best athletes in their high school, and almost all of them were the best athletes in their college. These are the people that literally every room they walked in until they made the pros, they were the toughest guy in the room. Literally, everyone. So to be embarrassed like that is something they do not respond to well. And the difference in the NFL really is a matter of inches. It really is. A team like the Jets, a couple of bounces, couple of different things, could be on pace for a 10-6. You think that sounds goofy, but, or maybe you do, I don't know, but it really is the case. And you see it year after year. A team doesn't change hardly at all, and lo and behold, one year they're 5-11, and the next year they're 10-6. So I would actually look to play on the Jets just because I think that embarrassment on Monday Night Football.
Hey, one last quick follow-up to what we were talking about with the Falcons, that with the yardage, they suck in the red zone. That's one of those things that I try to factor in too.
I tell you this. Well, two things. One is clear. I'm really worried about the depth at wide receiver for the Falcons, right?
Yeah.
Not only is Jones questionable.
Sanu is out.
Okay, yeah. So the number two, number three, however you want to say that. So, you know, cluster injuries, we talk about it all the time. It's even if it's a great player, to lose one guy at a position, you know, that has multiple players, not like quarterback, is not so bad. But when you start having to go another level down, it's a problem. But, you know, the other thing I would mention is the idea that with Atlanta and the injuries, when you're favored by, almost 7 points, sometimes you get a little conservative, as in let's shorten the game. Right. If you feel like you're thin in a certain place. So I do think that when you're getting up to almost a touchdown, again, you laid it at 5. But when you're getting up to almost a touchdown, you got to worry about that team being motivated to have a high rep game. And I know we got to run, but quickly, Monday Night Football, I think that's one of the reasons the Ravens are a good bet, is because, and again, not a great bet, but a good bet plus 7 against the Pats, is because Belichick with Brady he's worried about him. He's hobbled right now. No doubt he doesn't. You know, what's the last thing he wants is Brady injured. So it's third and 12 in the first quarter. Typically, he'd go downfield. Here, it's a screen pass, gets 8 yards, a punt, and Belichick figures this is not a must-win game, especially after the Raiders lost to get the number one seed, but he wants to win. But number two is, I'd much rather this be a closer game and us have a chance to win at the end than get Brady hurt. So I think it's, you know, the Monday night will be a very low variance conservative game.
All right, that's RJ Bell. Great stuff as always, RJ. Check out pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, because he's always tweeting great stuff, like a Blake Bortles stat that he did earlier in the day that is well worth your time.
I almost sexted RJ today.
Thank God. Listen, I want to personally thank you for not doing
that. I was having a conversation with him and my wife at the same time, and he got one of her texts. It could have been bad.
Thanks, guys.
See you, man. All right, we got to take a break. We're way over. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This segment with RJ Bell was brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
Visit AcceptanceAppliance.com for all your home appliance needs.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
Sports! All right, we'll do a very quick Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Well, this is a name I haven't heard in a while. Remember Judge Reinhold? Beverly Hills Cop.
Right.
Played Brad in Fast Times at Ridgemont. You want to work at All American Burger? Seemed like kind of a laid-back guy, right?
Right.
Well, he was arrested at Love Field Thursday in Dallas after allegedly causing a ruckus during an attempted TSA pat-down. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ he was being patted down and for unknown reasons was giving TSA agents a hard time. Wonder if he was like, haven't you ever seen Beverly Hills Cop? We're told agents offered to search him in a separate room, but he refused. And apparently they got video of him in handcuffs at the airport, and you can hear someone give a shout out to his Beverly Hills Cop character.
There you go.
So he was arrested for misdemeanor.
Even fake cops get arrested.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Misdemeanor disorderly conduct. I think I'm going to guess alcohol was involved because of all these pictures. He's just grinning like a cat. So
it seems likely.
That's one thing. I never mess with TSA agents. I'm always yes sir, no sir. Even the multiple times I've always gotten searched when it was clearly because of my last name. I never bitched about it except for one time. I made a joke, and that wasn't funny. It didn't work. But that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. Sorry for the short segment, but we thought it was better to go long with RJ. All right. I actually found Rolling Stone's top 40 Zeppelin songs. And
it's garbage.
I gotta say, you're not gonna like it. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.